And good Saturday morning to you on this bright new year. How's the new year been for you? If you had a successful fishing or hunting trip this week, got a story to tell about the outdoors, or maybe you're on your way to make some memories. Well, I've got two successful trips this week and a good story about a flying hat from this week to share with you. And if you've had a good trip or a story to tell, we'd love to hear from you. You can, and we'll include it in with the reports we get from our field staff and marina operators and others. So your comments, questions, also welcome as always. Use our in-studio text line, which is 504-260-1870 is that number. If you want to share with us your trip details or story you got, and I've got some other questions for you this morning, too. Do you take advantage of the law that allows you to transport fish fillets on the water while you're returning after a two- or more-day trip? So you've been at the camp overnight, caught one limit one day, caught another limit the next day. You cleaned them at the camp, and now you're returning, and you have fillets on the water. Do you know that to be legal, those fillets have a minimum size? Do you measure your trout and redfish fillets? Well, you could be cited if you don't follow the new rules the Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is considering adopting, and I'll explain how all that works. And when you head out on the water to the duck blind or the deer stand, what's your favorite snack that you just have to have? Number one snack for outdoors people. Tell me what it is. 504-260-1870. Also this year, Chef John Foltz's Boucherie is fast approaching. We'll tell you all about that, how to get some advanced tickets to what is really a truly a wonderful event. And as usual, we've got a bad boy story to share with it. This guy here, he made a bad choice. He went deer hunting, but unfortunately he went at night in LaSalle Parish. We'll tell you his crime and the time. If you're looking to go out today, here's your coastal marine forecast from the National Weather Service. We have a small craft advisory across the Gulf through tomorrow. Offshore today, those winds are southwest at 10 to 18, 2 to 4 foot seas. And for tomorrow, you're looking at some north winds 10 to 18 on the interior lakes and bays. Tomorrow, north winds 12 to 22, and a small craft advisory will be up. It's both for today and tomorrow, and it'll run through that. We got a great tide range, 1.9, but those winds, it's definitely going to be off for Sunday, offshore 20 to 25 knots with 3 to 5-foot seas. You don't want to be anywhere near that. Even on the interior lakes and bays, small craft advisory tomorrow, north winds 12 to 22. Got a little bit of a window of opportunity. You could get out there today with winds that are still going to be out of the southwest and maybe get some fishing in before the winds blow you away. All right, that's it. Our number, make a note of it, 504-260-1870. Are you deer hunting? Have you got any venison? Did you put it in the freezer? What's going on with you in the outdoor world? Love to hear from you. All right, we come back after this. We're going to check in with Robbie Campo. He's got a story for us this week. Boy, he killed a really nice buck at a place called Diamond Island. We'll get that from Robbie and also get his fishing report for the St. Bernard area. All that's coming up in the next 2 hours. It's what we do right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Well, let's go down there to Campo's Marina located at Shell Beach and talk to Robbie Campo. Good morning, Robbie. What kind of wind do you guys got down there? Has it started to blow yet?
Well, yes, it has. It's northwest. It's anywhere from, 10 to 15, 16 miles an hour. I was looking at the wind gauge in there just a few minutes ago. I did see a little bit of drizzling on the road when I was coming down, rain. But when I got down here, none up on the four lane. I think, to tell you the truth, Don, I think it's going to be great for duck hunters this morning. Not so good for fishermen. We did see a few fish caught this week up in the Mr. Go, but I don't expect, with this wind blowing like this, man, it's going to be tough to fish it today. Tomorrow, we got another front coming through. It's just January, man. It gets rough at this time of the year, to make fish bite. So, Don, we're in a full swing of, and the second thing is we're in a full swing of hunting season, with duck season winding down, I think with a week left around here, I think it's the 25th, maybe it closes
right
down here, by us here in St. Bernard. But, you know, deer season is in full swing up through Mississippi, Alabama. And, you know, that, some of those seasons run into February, and people's trying to bag that buck. Ruts, you know, the rut in a lot of places is going on right now. And it's just, it's an exciting time to be in the woods. And, you know, I got a lot of hunters that's, you know, a lot of fishermen that are hunters, and they just focused on trying to, you know, kill a deer somewhere else and, you know, just not fishing at this time of the year. It's the slowest time that we have this month, next month. So, but the diehards that do go fishing, you know, I mean, that went this week, they did okay. Not great, but, you know, look, and I'm not going to sit and tell you, oh, they filled the box up. No, that's not how it went down. I'm not going to tell you, you know, that they, you know, they're pounding on them when it's not happening, but they did catch some. The biggest thing that's going on around here now, when you can get there to the Long Rocks, is the, you know, most of our guides at this time of the year, they take and they go do these sheephead runs over, you know, from now until probably, you know, the end of March, they go do sheephead runs. And, you know, you got a lot of people coming in from out of town with Mardi Gras season approaching. So, they just want something that tugs on the line, and that's usually the quickest and easiest thing to go do. But I tell you the truth, if you had a charter today, I think it would even be tough to get to the rocks with this northwest wind to even go try that. So, with that said, I don't think that this weekend's going to be all that great. Again, if you're a duck hunter, it's going to be wonderful, but
yeah.
You know, for the fishermen, I don't believe it's going to be all that good.
Well, Robbie, you bagged a really nice buck this week at a place called Diamond Island, and I hadn't been up there, an island in the Mississippi River. What an incredible place that is. And tell me, as I heard, they were having some problems with access because when the river gets low, you can't get to it. Is that working itself out?
No, well, no, actually, it's just the opposite. When the river's high, you can't get to it. The road that, because you got to ride the levee, you go up into, well, first of all, you got to get the invite to go. So I got, it was a last-minute deal. A buddy of mine calls and he says, hey, he said, we're going up, you want to come on with us? I said, yeah, heck, who turns down a trip to Diamond Island? So, went up there, drove up Sunday, you cross the river at Vicksburg and you get on the, Mississippi River levee and you drive into Diamond Island. Diamond Island is one of these places, Don, that you gotta have, you know, I mean, it's the Millionaire's Club. It's
exclusive. Diamond is a good name
for
it.
It is. Diamond and Davis Islands and Togo Island and all those Oxbow Islands along that river, it's just a special place to hunt. And if you ever get invited to go and you turn it down, just go outside and let somebody just kick you right in the butt because it's the creme de la creme of deer hunting. You know, it's just a special place. Anything that you know about deer hunting, that I've experienced in my lifetime, I've been hunting deer since I'm 13, Don, I started, and anything that you know, you could throw out the window when you go there. This is like something you've never seen before. It's a beautiful, I mean, the trees and it's, you know, the Oxbow Island, it's gorgeous. You know, it's got thick cover. It's got everything that a deer needs to thrive on a piece of property, and this place has it. And it makes some beautiful bucks there.
Well, tell me about the one you got. Was that an 8-point?
Yeah, it was an 8-point. Yeah, that's what they call a management 8-point.
A management buck, huh?
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, it's a management buck. Not a real high scoring deer, but a lot of mass. Don, he's just I don't think he's going to score really, really good because he doesn't have a whole lot of time left. But I tell you, it's just, that place is just amazing. I've never seen anything. You know, it's my second year going. It's just an amazing place to go. And the body sizes of these animals are as big as they are in the Midwest. I guess it's because of the nutrients that river has in it. It's just an amazing place to go.
Yeah, it's right there, Madison Parish, I guess. Probably, what, might be 10, 15 minutes out of Vicksburg, close to Mississippi, but yeah. It's actually in Louisiana.
Yeah, exactly. It's in Louisiana, and it's on a it's in Tallulah, Louisiana. It's right by Tinsaw Parish. It's just you can't say enough good about this place. It's just, you know, but to get in there, it's exclusive. You got to have the invite to go, and you know, everybody on that whole strip, you know, that has a camp there. This is the crazy thing. With the exception of one or two people on that, in that, you know, at Hunt's Diamond Island, they all fish here. So, you know, I know everyone on that island, you know what I mean? So, I said, with the exception of one or two, I know everybody on Diamond Island. So, you know, when they go in there, they start telling me who's camp, who belongs to what, you know what?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, well, he's got a camp in Shell Beach. He's got a camp in Shell Beach. He's got a camp in Fort Bourgogne. He's got a camp in Proctor. And he says, "How do you know all these people?" I said, "Man, I've been in this business since I'm a kid, man. I know everybody." So,
yeah. Well, congratulations on your buck, and hopefully you get another invite and go get a big one up there. But that is really a very unique, exclusive place for deer hunters in Louisiana, no doubt about that. All right, Robbie, yeah, thanks so much for the report, my friend. What you got planned this week? Any hunting, or are you going to be at the marina?
Nope, I'm done. No, I'm done.
You're done. All right.
I'm done till turkey season gets here, bud.
I'm with you. All right, thank you, Rob.
All right, buddy. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
There goes Robbie Campo. All right, we come back. I'm going to check out your text messages, 504-260-1870. Special guest coming up in just a few minutes, David Hubble. I'm going to talk about Chef John Foltz's Boucherie coming up first weekend in February. He's got details for you. All that to come right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, we got a lot of deer hunters out there, evidently, and I got a question for you. We're talking to Robbie about his deer in Diamond Island. Here's a good one. How many deer do you believe are killed annually in North America? I got some stats on it, and you may be surprised. You can shoot me a text, 504-260-1870. And this morning, we're hearing from the River Rat, wishing me and my buddies, Ben Franklin and Al Capone, it's our birthday today. And thank you for all of you who've been sending in the birthday wishes. All right, we got the Backstrap Stacker. He's checking in from Clark County, Alabama, as he usually does. He says the small bucks are chasing. The big bucks are starting to roam as it's cranking up there in Alabama. The rut is on. He says we've got a crew headed to the woods. His favorite snack, we were asking about your favorite snack for him. It's a Coca-Cola and a few chocolate moon pies. Boy, that's a breakfast of champions. Good luck to everyone in the woods this long weekend. That's right. A lot of people have a holiday on Monday, so it's kind of a long weekend. Plenty of time to get out there. Fishing now going to be tough unless you're doing some freshwater fishing or maybe in some secluded, wind-covered areas because it's kind of breezy out there with that front pushing through. All right, Wingbone says it goes every day. We got cola hot, cola hot. Yeah, that's for sure. All right, here's a listener says, roasted peanuts in the deer stand for me. I let the hulls fall to the ground, and the deer smell them and come in to investigate. Now, there you go. That's double use of peanuts. Feed both the hunter and attract the deer. Here's one says, good morning, Don. An article in Outdoor Life just came out with a reference to Senator John Kennedy's letter to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service concerning that hot cropping. And if you recall, we were talking with Josh Goins and Duke Lowry just a couple weeks ago about that letter that Senator Kennedy fired off to the Fish and Wildlife Service requesting that they reevaluate the altered migration, the causes, and possibly what flooded cornfields are doing. It's talking about shortstop and mallards from migrating to Louisiana. It's an interesting read. So you might want to check that out in Outdoor Life. Senator John Kennedy, the letter we talked about, and it's been discussed there. All right, we also have this one's this is funny. Filet size limit. What's next? Only box of drawers allowed while fishing? This is the BS that makes people dislike the wildlife and fisheries. We got a balmy good morning from Ohio, where it is 29 degrees, watching the bunnies in the snow before the sun comes up. Very peaceful. And we've got this one headed to the Abita Diamond Hunting Club, trying to get a meeting with Mr. Buck this morning again. Big Easy. You've been trying, Big Easy. You've Got to get to those deer. All right, here's what the statistics I saw. And this is the latest was 2022. There were about 6.3 million deer that were killed by hunters. The average is somewhere between 6 and 6.5 million each year. The total mortality, when you factor in that hunting, vehicle collisions, and predators and other natural causes such as diseases, the total annual deer deaths across North America are estimated to be 8 to 10 million. So if 6.3 is the average hunter take and 9 million is the average total mortality, then we're talking about somewhere around 2.7 million are killed in automobile and truck crashes and by predators. I would say the automobiles and truck accidents would be around 2 million and the other 700,000 to predators. So what this says is, you know, if they ever outlawed deer hunting and just said no more hunting of deer, you'd be scared to death to drive on the roads. Can you imagine that? There's 6.5 million deer killed by hunters that would be there on the roadways, reproducing more deer that would be on the roadways. And that number, 2 million colliding with autos and trucks, and tell them what that would go to and what it would do to the insurance rate. So there you go. A good reason to continue hunting besides the fact that you get the great meal. You get some good venison. All right, we're going to come back after this, and we're going to talk with David Hubble. He is one of the exhibitors annually at Chef John Folt's Boucherie. It's scheduled for Saturday, February the 7th, White Oak Estate and Gardens. And Dave is going to take us on a little tour and tell you what you can see if you come to one of Louisiana's true Cajun heritage events. We'll be back to talk about that. Also get to your text messages. And we got fishing reports from Captain Mike Gallo, Daryl Carpenter, and Ryan Lambert all coming your way right after this on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got another text in with regard to the total whitetail harvest in North America. Old man Sam, you know, he agrees it's about 6 million and another 2 million being killed on the roads out of a total, he got a figure of 36 million whitetail deer nationwide. I think that might be continent-wide, North America. Thanks for that added number, old man Sam. Also, this one says, mentioned this before, but in Michigan, I guess that's Michigan, MI, is that the abbreviation for Michigan, MI? They call it tagging deer when you hit them on purpose. No license or tag needed. Actually, if you kill a deer on the road, you should report it, and before you can take it, you need to get permission from the Wildlife and Fisheries to actually load it up and take it. All right, we're going to take a quick pause, 10 seconds, for our local stations to identify themselves. On the backside, we're going to talk about the Boucherie. You know what a Boucherie is? If you don't, you will after we talk to David Hubble. We'll be back to do that right after this quick 10-second pause to let our stations tell you who they are and where they are along The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, let's bring in David Hubble, our buddy over in Alabama, who is a regular exhibitor at Chef John Folt's Boucherie. Good morning, David. How you doing?
Hey, good morning, Don. Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I just got a message from my buddy, Uncle Larry. He's headed to Baton Rouge to cook gumbo for 7,000 Louisiana Marathon runners today and tomorrow. He's going to be refueling them over there.
It makes doing all that running worthwhile.
You're right. David, you've been a regular at Chef John Folt's Boucherie for a number of years. How do you describe that to people? I mean, it's such a unique event.
Oh, I mean, it is. It's better. It's almost like, well, for me, it's like going to Disney World in a lot of ways because it's so much fun to learn about the traditions of the Boucherie, the traditional ways that our Cajun ancestors would preserve the meats of the hog during the time, the cooler months. And so you get an opportunity to see that actually taking place, as well as the various stations that they would break down the recipes that we know and love today, andouille, hogshead cheese, boudin. You actually get to go out there and watch people do this firsthand. And then you get to walk around the beautiful grounds of White Oak Estates, and you'll do that, talk to the people cooking, learn a little bit of history. There's a lot of presentations that are also going on in the ballroom. And, I mean, this lasts from like 8 o'clock till about 1 o'clock, and then you actually get to eat. And you get to all the stuff. I mean, you get there's more food than you can expect. If you leave there hungry, it's your own fault.
Yeah, and the boucherie is it's a tradition that was done, you know, by the Cajuns, where they would take a hog at this time of the year and butcher it, as you mentioned, and use every part of it and produce the boudin, the cheese, the different stews. And they actually do this at the boucherie. So it's a real reenactment, and it's at White Oak Estate and Gardens in Baton Rouge. There's a lot of other exhibits there, you know, demonstrations. There's some musicians there with some Cajun music and a lot of how-to and some talks that are given there. It's really, you can spend the entire day there, and you just kind of graze through sampling all the different exotic game dishes. Tell us about some of the other ones and what you're going to be doing.
Well, some of the other folks will be talking about, like, the art of salumi, or, you know, like salami and cold cuts, the Italian styles of preservation. We've typically had a historical talk as well. And then there's John also has been making his own bourbon and rum on site for the last several years. So the last few years has also included a talk on spirits of bourbon and such. But this year, last year, in fact, I was honored to be asked by John's brother Jerry to help him and our longtime historian Jim Hunter give a talk about the comparisons of Pennsylvania scrapple, Louisiana hogshead cheese, and the Creole Daube Glacé, which I did. And unfortunately, we lost Jim this past year. So what we'll be doing, Jerry and I, will be putting together a little memorial type of remembrance of Jim. Jim had been there since the beginning in 2016, and he's given several historical talks. And so Jerry will be making Jim's scrapple, and I actually have footage from my cousin Jeremy from last year of Jim talking. So we'll get actually to hear Jim's presentation again on scrapple. So it'll be an interesting, nice event to remember Jim, as well as learn about the art of different types of, you know, a cousin to cousin to hogshead cheese, if you will, with scrapple.
Excellent. You know, some of the other dishes, and I love it, is that rooster coon stew. That combination doesn't sound real good, but boy, is it delicious. And one thing I have yet to get, because it's just been in demand, I haven't had a chance to get to it before it's gone, is the beaver tail.
I don't know if they do beaver tail every year. That particular time, that was one of the talks I believe Jim gave, was on like Lewis and Clark. And the tradition, I think, is where Chef John got the recipe from, was the roasted beaver tail. And if people will go to your episode of Bayou Wild back, I think in 2020 or 2021, you can see the beaver tail being roasted on the y'all did a great job of getting a good close-up. And everybody said it's like eating it's a fine white meat. Some are kind of compared to flounder maybe or something like that.
Yeah, kind of like flounder. That's what it looked like. I hadn't got a bite of it because it went so fast. But, yeah, and then the rooster coon stew and some of the other things. What a great event. You know, tickets, I think you get them on Eventbrite. If people know how to go to that, you can buy advanced tickets because they sell out pretty quick. And it starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a good early start up there at White Oak. And it's at the Estate and Gardens. I guess people can Google to find the place, you know, if you're familiar with Chef John's, you know, his room there where he does receptions, and he great place up there. And boy, what a tradition, an ambassador for Louisiana cooking is Chef John Fultz, huh? What a guy.
Oh yeah. The actual address is 17660 George O'Neill Road, Baton Rouge. And you're right. If you go to Eventbrite, you can you'll see a breakdown of how to get tickets. There's general admission, and then there's a children's discount. It's a good price for. I mean, it's not like going to the Diamond Hunting Club
Island,
Diamond Island. But it's a good price to see all this. I mean, it's a value that you really, you know, to get fed the kind of food that you're going to get. Is you can't find it anyplace else unless you go to another boucherie. And this one is done with all the education and stuff. It's wonderful. It's from 8 to 3. Like I said, I think you'll be finished eating by 1 o'clock, but you burn some calories walking around, then you get to gain them back by eating.
Very good. David, thanks for sharing that with us, and thanks for the great job you do up there at the boucherie. I know John appreciates you coming up there and all the folks. They come from a long way to participate in it.
Oh, you're welcome. We're going to have all the regulars, looks like, coming back this year. So if you've gone in the past, you'll get to see a lot of the same people that you've seen before and get to rekindle friendships with them.
I hope I can make it up there and see you, David. Thanks again for being with us to talk about it.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right. There he goes, David Hubbell. All right. We come back after this. I'm going to get to some more of your text messages. Also talk about this proposed new size limit for your fillets. We'll explain what that's all about right after this time out on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, looks like we got some folks with bass fishing on their mind this morning. We're hearing from Cade from Ascension Parish. He says he's headed out to try to catch some bass this morning, wondering if you maybe talk about some of the best places for anglers to bank fish for bass in South Louisiana. Well, I'm going to ask the listeners, if you got a spot in South Louisiana bank fishing for bass, text me, 504-260-1870, and maybe by next week I can accumulate some places, but just right off the top of my head, a lot of the public lakes and lagoons like New Orleans City Park, Baton Rouge Parks, some of the Breck Parks that they have, they actually do, get out and fish programs where they stock rainbow trout. In fact, there's two of them going on this morning, one at Zamurri Park in Hammond, the other at Bogachita State Park up in Washington Parish, and then there's three more next week. Oil and Gas Park in Jennings, Southside Regional Park in Lafayette, and Bayou Country Sports Complex in Houma. Those three will be next week. They've got courses, actually, for beginners. People have signed up. I don't know if they're filled. You can check the website and register. But there's also bass in all of those areas, so you might check that out. State Parks is another great spot where usually you can do it. And, of course, you know, these private lakes and ponds, that produces some really good bass, but make sure you get permission to go there. All right, we also have, this is from Doug, I believe. Doug says he's going to be spending part of the day taking treble hooks from some of his crankbaits, replacing them with the new Gamagatsu crankbait circle hooks. I try to reduce injuries to fish that will be released. In addition, anything that helps me get through the matted grass and eelgrass is a help. Good tip, Doug. I've never fished with circle hooks on crankbaits, but sounds like a good idea. Circle hooks, one of the advantages is you really don't have to set the hook, which it'd be tough to get a bass fisherman to stop setting the hook when he feels the strike. But it's used a lot in salt water, and when you get a fish on a circle hook, when he's swimming off with the bait, basically you just start reeling and kind of hooks himself. All right, text messages are welcome, 504-260-1870. I wanted to talk about this measuring your fillets. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries has filed a notice of intent to put in some rules to allow speckled trout and redfish fillets while on the water. Now, this rule only applies to fishermen who can demonstrate that they are fishing south of U.S. Highway 90 and that they had been on the water or at a remote camp that can be accessed only by water for 2 days or more. In other words, if you fish, go to the camp with your fish, you clean them, you go fish again the next day, those fish are not cleaned, you're bringing them back in, or they all are clean. Well, what you're allowed to keep twice the daily bag limit if you've been out for 2 days. But you have to have minimum and maximum fillet sizes. For the speckled trout, it's 8 inches and 13 inches if you because we've got two over 20 over the slot, over the 13-inch minimum, and there's two over the slot limit, so that's why the 13-inch. Figuring off of a small trout, you get an 8-inch fillet, 13 inches off the 20-plus, at least minimum of 13. Then they're going to establish, and it doesn't really go into detail, how many you can have that are undersized. That would allow you some. For redfish, it's 10 inches and 18 inches, depending on what fish you catch in the slot. So it's a little bit confusing, and I don't know, you got to be, a lot of people are not real good at taking fillets off, and they lose a lot of meat, so they might take a legal-sized fish, say, for instance, a 13-inch speckled trout, and the fillet that they come away with after they kind of butcher it up is less than 8 inches, then they would be in violation. So unless I don't know what the allowance for the undersized fillets would be in possession. So all that's still in the works, and I'll try to make more sense of it when they get into all the details. But They are going to do that, and it'll take a vote. And if you want, you can make comments before February 20th to the Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. Check out the website, and it'll tell you who to direct your comments to if you have comments about that. All right, 504-260-1870. That's our text message board. We'll be back to talk to Darrell Carpenter at Grand Isle. Get a report for you there. Looks like the rain that was down there has moved out, but, boy, I don't think the wind has let up. We'll talk to Darrell all about that after this time out on the outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. All right, we're looking at some pretty stiff winds moving in with this frontal system. Looks like on the interior lakes and bays, we've got north wind or northeast some areas, northwest and others, 10 to 18. And for tomorrow, of course, a big small craft advisory up 12 to 22 knot winds in interior lakes and bays. Looking at that forecast, Darrell, what's that mean for somebody wanting to fish in Grand Isle? Where would you go if you got to go?
It got here a couple hours ago. It's gusting well over 20, pretty much straight out of the north. So, I mean, it's here now. So, you know, the interior launches, get north of Grand Isle. The Golden Meadow launches, the Leeville launches would be the place to go. Now, as this weather kind of settles in, and it's supposed to be this way, as I'm looking at the forecast for the next 10 days, I think we've got maybe one day where the wind's not 15 to 20, if that forecast holds. This is the time that it's time to put some miles on the truck tires and you know, start looking up and down the side of the road. Water level has been very low for the last several weeks. Of course, you get some rebuilding tide, like the last couple of days, you get some rebuilding tide going on. But it's time for those ponds on the side of the road to shine. If you've got to launch a boat today, you're either going to be fishing the front side of Grand Isle on the Gulf to hide from those north winds, or, like I said, look at, you know, even the Fouchon public launch, because that gives you access to that lower marsh and those Fouchon rock jetties, which this time of the year can be a very good trip saver. It's hard on a north wind because that north wind blows right down by you, Lafourche. But if you get a little northeast, northwest to it, once it switches a little bit, it opens up a lot of the rock jetties and all up there. And look, this time of the year, those things hold a whole lot of redfish, a whole lot of black drum, and a whole lot of sheephead. So I can't tell you over the last 22 years how many times those rock jetties have been a trip saver for me. But other than that, if you're looking for trout and looking to run around a little bit more, I'd consider that Catfish Lake area, the Golden Meadow launches, and you know, and just beat around that more of that protected marsh. But it's going to be tough. And looking at the forecast, it's going to be tough for the next week or two, because we've got little small mini fronts coming in, one behind the other. That's going to keep things stirred up and pretty muddy.
Darrell, how about bait? Is live bait available, either the shrimp or the minnows?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Minnows are year-round bait. All your bait shops around Grand Isle, you know, your customary bait shops with Bridgeside and the Grand Isle Marina. And then, of course, you've got Terry's. Terry's is the old standby. If you've got any doubt whatsoever, do not pass up Leeville. Take that little quarter mile out of your way trip and go to Terry's bait shop. He's always got the best minnows there. The shrimp are unpredictable at this time of the year. Sometimes they'll have them, sometimes they won't. Of course, everybody during the summer stocks up their freezers with bait shrimp, so there'll be plenty of frozen shrimp should you need it. So bait's not really an issue. If you find some cleaner water, plastic does well this time of the year, because you got to remember there's not a whole lot of natural bait in the water for the fish either.
Darrell, if you're fishing with the Cockahoe minnows, how do you hook them?
I usually start out, Don. A lot of it depends, too, on how you're fishing them and the conditions for that day. But you generally start out hooking them through the lips, up through the bottom lip, out through the top lip. They've got that little membrane right behind that hard ring where their teeth are. Once, you know, the wonderful thing about a Cockahoe minnow is you usually can get three or four fish out of it. Because if you're fishing any kind of current whatsoever, usually that first or second bite rips those lips and makes it no good. But you can start hooking them through the eyeballs. Just go in one eye and out the other. And as long as you're fishing in any current whatsoever, that minnow can be, for the most part, dead. But that current's still going to have him flopping back and forth, looking like a wounded minnow in that current. So until it just tears them up completely where you can't put a hook in them, you can reuse and recycle those suckers for a long time.
They are tough. They're pretty easy to keep lively, too, not like some of the other baits like the pogies, the small pogies, and the mullet, finger mullet, and even the shrimp can be difficult. But the cockahoe, if they're wet, they're going to live.
No, and I can remember 20-some-odd years ago when I first started and did a lot of traveling back and forth. I can remember coming back to the house in Baton Rouge and having a live well with about 20 cockahoes in it that I'd forgot, and put hose water, public water out of Baton Rouge, in a 5-gallon bucket, and those minutes lasted till the next week.
Yeah, hey, they get my vote for the toughest bait out there. Darryl, somebody wants to get a hold of you and throw some cockahoes or some plastic stuff after those fish, tell them how to get a hold of you.
Don, they can find me on your website at DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, RealScreamers.com, or just kind of pick up the phone, 225-937-6288.
All right, stay out of that breeze, and we will talk to you next week.
Oh, she's blowing good already, so she's going to be here for a few days.
All righty. Well, that's what we get this time of the year. All right, we come back after the top of the hour break. We're going to be checking in with Captain Mike Gallo. Butch Ridgdale's got the paddler report for you. Ryan Lambert down the tip of the boot. Also get to your text message. Interesting question that came up about measuring frozen fillets. What if you freeze them while you're at the camp and then come back with them? Interesting. We'll talk about that. Get to some other text messages. 504-260-1870. We'll also tell you what's coming up, what is running this week on Bayou Wild TV. Very interesting program. All that ahead on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Yeah, and happy birthday to those two guys. Hey, welcome back to the show, hour number two. We've been talking about fillets. The Department of Wildlife and Fisheries is considering instituting new rules. If you're going to be traveling from a camp, if you've been overnight, you caught fish, and then you're bringing them back because you've cleaned them, The restrictions and regulations for those fillets. For speckled trout, they're talking about you can have 8 individual fillets over 13 inches to account for the 2 spotted sea trout over the slot limit. You can have a minimum size of 8 inches. And then again, if you got one over 13 inches, that means you can only have 2 of those because that's what they figure will be yield. That would be the yield from a 20-plus inch speckled trout. Now, the redfish, the minimum size would be 10 inches. If you got a redfish fillet shorter than 10, you would be in violation. Or if it goes over 18 inches, that means you had one of those bull redfish that are now have to be released. So they'll be measuring fillets, and I think it's a mess. If I was out there, I think I would just keep my fish in the separate ice chest from day one, put the other fish in the ice chest for day two, and clean them whenever I get back to the dock. I don't think it's going to save me that much time to clean them out of the camp on the water and then run in and then have to have a game warden pull out his ruler and measure fillets and count them and decide what kind of fish it came from. Ah, that would be a mess. And Chip Clement checking in, he says that'll be a money generator for the wildlife and fisheries, the way they will set it. And then that interesting question about how would they measure frozen fillets? You know, they shrink up when you freeze them. Would you have to wait to defrost them and then measure them? Sounds like kind of a nightmare for me. And my buddy Dean, who I was hunting with him and my dog's sister Latte, he says it takes practice to fillet a fish properly. He does it with a regular knife instead of the electric knife. For him, it works better. A lot of people like the regular knife. Unless I'm doing a big redfish, I like to use the electric knife, too, on trout, even the sheephead. Redfish, usually I do the half shell. Don't remove it from the skin and scales. All right, speaking of Dean and Latte, we had a couple of good hunts this week with the Weaver brothers, Chris and Bob. We went up to Crane Creek. We bagged 30 quail. It was 4 of us hunting and 2 dogs up at Poplarville, Mississippi, and the weather was great. Birds flew like champs, and we had a great time. Then and later in the week, we went over to Shady Pines Hunting Club in Butte La Rose woodcock hunting, put the dogs down. The count was about 21 woodcock we flushed. We shot, and the dogs retrieved 10 of them. And dogs, by that time, were recovering, wore out. But we're looking to go again. Woodcock hunting is a great sport. That's that crazy-looking little bird with the eyeballs in the back of his head. And they hide. They look almost impossible to see them. They're camouflaged in those leaves. And when they come out of there, they take off like a bat out of hell is what they say. Anyway, great sport. picked up some nice ones. They're pretty good heat, too. And we had a funny thing happen. We had the dogs were pointing locked up, and Dean walked in to flush him. He spotted the bird. In order to get it to fly up, he took his hat off, and he threw the hat at the bird. But it was like a ringer on horseshoes. The hat went on the bird. The bird came up, and the hat came off, and the bird got shot and put in the bag. So a little added story and a little memory from a great hunt. Hope we can get at least another one or two woodcock hunts in before the end of the season. All right, also coming up on Bayou Wild TV, if you haven't seen it, it's our feature called Dutch's Corner. I'm going to talk to Mike Gallo more about it because he was a star in it. All right, let's see. We got some more texts coming in. Sounds like a joke. Some people don't get 8-inch melee. Some butcher them. Sounds like a money grab opportunity. That's right. All right, that's from Brad. Listen to us down in Lafayette. All right, we'll come back after this. We headed over to the Spots and Dots Lake House Lodge. That's where Mike Gallo departs for his trips to the great outdoors. He's next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our Born on the Bayou report with Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of SeaTow. Once you become a member, you get free towing, fuel delivery if you need it. If you run short, they'll jumpstart you for electrical problems. Dock-to-dock towing, wherever you are, if you need rescue, they will be there. It's really peace of mind. $249 gets you a full year, and it's renewable after that. Call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or click SeaTow.com. And an interesting story came out with SeaTow this week. It was a boat that caught a potentially record fish. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was a billfish of some type. I'm not sure. I think it might have been a blue marlin, but it was caught with an electric reel. But the boat had problems, and SeaTow had to come in and pull in the potential state record and rescue them. There's a lot of stories from SeaTow, and when you need them, just hope you don't. But if you do, they'll be there. All right, Captain Mike Gallo joins us, and he is a star of this week's Bayou Wild TV that is airing, called Dutch's Corner. Good morning, Mike. What a great time that was filming that show to honor our buddy Dutch. Would have been, I think this couple days ago, would have been his 101st birthday. And certainly great to get with you guys and talk about it. Now on the map, there's an official location for Dutch's Corner.
Yeah, thank you very much for your help in putting me together with Glenn Shore of Standard Mapping and getting that idea of Dutch's legacy to continue so Dutch lives on. And that's, we, like you said, we honored him, and that's what we could do with such an honorable fisherman of Louisiana.
Yeah, I know you miss him. You and he were more than just captain and customer. You guys were best friends.
Yeah, he's a very good guy. I think of him often when I'm in the marsh and we go to certain areas. You know, you hear people say the marsh all looks the same. Well, to me, I recognize specific areas, and there's a lot of areas in the marsh that Dutch and I have fished. So whenever I come to these areas, it certainly reminds me of Dutch.
Dutch Prager, and the feature kind of tells the life story of Dutch. You'll see him, hear from him, and hear all the wonderful things that man did throughout his life. Go to BayouWildTV.com. You can check it out on YouTube if you can't find it, but we're on channels all across South Louisiana and soon to be in Mississippi. So anyway, Mike, boy, we got another pretty picture weather-wise today to get out and fish. You going out or you postpone your trips?
Well, I'm going out as soon as I get off the phone. I'm going to head down this little trail and climb in a deer stand, and hopefully a deer will come out and bless me with the opportunity to go to Double D and make some sausage.
Well, this is a great morning to do it. It could, you know, it's not going to be quite so windy in the woods, but what are you looking to take? Is it whatever comes out, or is there specific measurements or points, or are you allowed to take antlerless deer? What are you going to be looking for?
I would actually prefer a doe, because a lot of these guys that manage this property are hung up on those horns. I've yet to find a good recipe for those horns, so I'm okay with the does.
How they been doing up there?
It's been sporadic because they hadn't had as much cold. We'll see. It's about 40 degrees this morning up here, so I hope they'll be moving. I did see three yesterday afternoon, and it was to the point where I didn't get a clear vision of I didn't want to shoot a young spike or something like that, so I just held off.
What are you shooting?
I'm shooting my trusty Ruger 7mm mag.
Yeah, you're the 7mm man. You like that big gun, huh?
Yeah, my dad gave that to me back when I was in college, and it'll do anything I would like to hunt.
Well, hope you're successful. When you come back, what advice could you give people if they wait for this little blow to come through and then in between before the next one comes, what would be some advice to catch a few fish?
I would think that this cold is going to last for several days, and that's probably going to push fish into areas where you don't have quite as much current. Areas like Gohegan's Canal, Venetian Isles, Eden Isles, the Lakeshore Estate areas, and you'll have to fish slow and on the bottom. And once you crack the code, it's just repeat, repeat, repeat. A lot of times we say fish slow, and if that doesn't work, slow down. And if that doesn't work, slow down again. It's really slow. In the summer, we say a fish will move 20 feet to find your popping cork, and in the winter, he won't move 20 inches. So if you move it slow enough, you give him time to get to it because his metabolism is really slow because the water temperature is so cold.
Got it. Well, Mike, we're not going to hold you up any longer. I know you're ready to hit the trail and get down into the stand. What, are you hunting out of a box stand or a ladder stand? What are you going to be hunting on?
I'm going to be in a box stand today overlooking a food plot.
Very comfortable. You can listen to the rest of the show, too, while you're there.
I will.
Good luck, Mike. Let me know if you're going to make a trip to Double D.
Thank you, Don. I sure will.
All right, there he goes. Captain Mike Gallo turned deer hunter this morning. Lots of people out there in the deer stands. Are you listening to us? We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870. Do you like to paddle for your fish? Well, we got a report coming from Butch Ridgdal, and we'll be talking to him. Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and No Wake Outfitters Paddler's Report, we call it. It's coming up next on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And when we hear that, we know it's time for a paddler's report in conjunction with the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club, presented by No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive. They have the latest outdoor gear, especially fishing tackle that is hot for the local area. Going to find paddle sports equipment, kayaks, have some demos on occasion, and you can ask about fly tying and fly fishing classes right there at the shop. They are a fly shop specialist. That's No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. Butch Ridgdal joins us now. And, Butch, what can you tell the paddlers out there who maybe, I don't know, it's not too early to pre-fish for the minimalist challenge, but you don't know what kind of bait you're going to get. That's the problem there.
Yeah, it is. It's 2 weeks away. I'm sure some folks have ventured down that way. I'm going to wait and go next weekend. It's said, the mystery baits, Coco Marina, first time for some people fishing the area, fishing that tournament there. So it's going to be a little drama, a little suspense, and I'm pretty sure we're going to have a good time. There'll be fish caught.
What kind of baits have they given you in the past?
Oh, man, we've gotten everything from ice fishing jigs to topwater baits. I kid you not. You never know. I mean, normally it's some good stuff. You'll get a handful of plastics, hard bait, 3 to 5 hooks. You don't get a lot of terminal tackle as far as hooks. You got to be pretty careful with that.
I guess you call it thrifty. You got to be thrifty with your baits because you only got so many, and if you lose them, you're done. But they do give you a variety of different styles.
We've had popping corks given out before, which everybody likes that for that time of year. Mm-hmm. But we'll see how the guys, the tournament director, comes up, and he's kind of told me, he said it's going to be interesting. So we'll see what happens. I mean, one thing about it, everybody's going to be fishing with the same thing.
Butch, what advice, locations, can you give people for some spots if they want to fish this weekend in this wind? Where might be a good place to put in and stay out of that wind and maybe find some clean water?
Okay, clean water. How to report them to me Thursday night. Lake Prion, Golden Nugget, Lake Charles on the west side over there. Beautiful water. Send me some photographs. Caught some nice trout, redfish, and even a flounder over there on some plastic.
I've heard some fish were caught down LA1 between Fouchon and Grand Isle. Just got to get out of the wind and find some clean water. I stayed home last weekend and went bass fishing. Went to Lake Martin and went there Saturday afternoon after the duck hunters. And with the drawdown, it was quite interesting seeing a lot of things I didn't know were there. Caught a few fish, but that water really needs to come back up to get that place back in shape.
Yeah, with that water down like that, though, you do get to find some underwater structure, you know, and make mental notes of it, or put it, I guess a lot of people put it in their phones and drop waypoints and things to find it. How were the bass acting? Did you get any fish?
Yeah, I caught a couple. They were, well, I can't say they weren't aggressive, because I had one fish that just absolutely went, you know, do a little Zoom Z crawl on top of some pads, and I mean, he just went, you know, he hit it like a redfish, but everything else was just kind of picky. It's Lake Martin. Lake Martin's a very finicky, you know, body of water. When they want to eat, they eat. Not, it's tough.
Yep. Well, we got plenty of spawning time coming up in the next several weeks, and bass fishing should get good, and maybe a lot of people might want to, you know, put the kayak in on some good freshwater spots. Besides Lake Martin, where would be a good place to slip a kayak in to do some freshwater fishing?
Well, that's just it. In our area, we're limited, to be honest with you. And you've got Lake Fossey Point. Again, very, you know, I'd say tide dependent, but it's, you know, the stages of the river. It gets really muddy down there. Really dirty, but there's some good fish caught. The basin, again, with we get rain, the water comes up and down. It can be, you know, a place you just don't want to go. Lake Martin, Lake Fossey Point. I mean, people go Falls River. There's been some tournaments over there. It's been really good, you know, some great fishing over there. Even Old River. But again, this time of year, of course, you know, they say that, what's the old saying, that fishermen dislike dirty water more than fish do. That does tend to hold true when it comes to that this time of year.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a lot of spots, too, as you move further to the east, where you get a good mix. Not only can you catch bass, but you're mixed in with speckled trout as you get in those brackish marsh areas. A lot of those around the Slidell area, even downriver, you know, down around Venice, if you go that far. You know, Eric's favorite spot, he's down there around Myrtle Grove and Port Sulphur. There's some stuff down there you can catch.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of that, even Ruot Canal, Bayou Manchac. There's, you know, I basically grew up fishing there, and there's, you know, phenomenal fishing there in the winter.
Lake Verrett, another place, too, particularly if you like the Sockeye.
Yes.
Well, we're going to let you go. Butch, thanks for the report, and good luck. And I guess we'll get another report as we get another. We're about 2 weeks away from the Minimalist Challenge. And if people want to sign up, they just need to go to the Bayou Coast Fishing website. And I'm sure they got all the details there.
It's all there. They can go to the club web Facebook page, and it'll direct you right to it.
All right. Thanks, Butch. We'll see you next time.
Have a good one. All right.
Alrighty. There he goes, Butch Ridgedale, one of our paddling field reporters. All right, we come back. This time of the morning, we talk about people who get on the wrong side of the law. Got a guy decided he was going to go deer hunting tonight. Bad decision. We'll tell you that story coming next on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And catching you up on our text message board, let's see what we got coming in. Here's one that says, good morning. Taking my 8-year-old boy on his first deer hunting trip this weekend in Alabama. Wish us luck. Well, if I had his name, I would personalize it. But good luck to the 8-year-old on the first hunt in Alabama. I'd love to hear that. It may be the beginning of an entire lifetime of hunting. All right, here's one from our buddy, the Backstrap Stack. He says, is there a fine if you cut your filet into pieces, or does the law say it has to remain a whole filet? I don't think you can say, let's see, this piece goes with this one and measure the pieces. I think you'd get a fine. My advice, don't filet fish and carry them on the water. Keep them whole. Well, some people like to do it, and you're going to have some details to pay attention to. Here's Roy in Mid-City says, the filet thing sounds like a disaster. Wasted fish with people trashing mistakes instead of just frying chunks. Yeah, you make a mistake filleting a fish, you can't bring it back. If you risk it, you could get caught. The thing to do would be to, I guess, recycle it into the water if you don't eat it. All right. Oh, here's David Hubble back. He looked it up. Thank you, David. He says, the Bayou Wild TV episode with the beaver tail is episode 151. Also, episodes 81 and 6 give a good overview of John Fultz's Boucherie. Yeah, we actually did this radio show out there one year. Episode 6 will show folks my reaction to the coon and rooster stew. Good work. Thanks for the research, David. Check it all out. BayouWildTV.com. Look for the YouTube page. All right, Monty is listening up in Caldwell Parish. It's Primitive Hunting Day. You know, one thing you got to look forward to getting old is seniors are allowed to use regular weapons doing primitive hunting. Did you know that? Well, it's a law that's pretty recent here in Louisiana. All right, oh, I love this name, the Gray Light Bandits. I'm going to add that to our list of loyal listener names here. They're out at the camp by the Yancey WMA. They're going to try to get one with a stick and string. Translation meaning the bow and arrow. Good luck to all the hunters out there. All right, from North Louisiana, Roland Cortez and the Dave's Bayou Crew, it's still been a good season for them. And the 8-year-old who's on the first ever deer hunting trip in Alabama is named Riley. Good luck to you, Riley. Let me know. Text me next week if you bag one. And if you want to send me a picture, we can't do it on this text, but you can do it. Do it to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and use the contact button and you can do it there. You can attach your picture of you and your first deer, hopefully. All right, we come back after this quick pause. We got a bad boy of the outdoor story for you. We do it every week. There's no limit to them, and they just keep on coming. And we'll be back to tell you about one right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves along the outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries Enforcement Agents Sergeant Raymond Davis, Corporal Jeremiah Fletcher, and Corporal Ryan Duran were on patrol on January 2nd when they observed a vehicle stopping several times on top of a levee around 11 p.m. The agents stopped the vehicle and observed a freshly killed deer in the bed of the truck. Dum-de-dum-dum. Well, after questioning, Ralston Nugent fessed up to killing the antlerless deer earlier that night with a rifle on the Diversion Canal Levee Road on a portion of the Dewey Wills Wildlife Management Area. It's a safe bet Nugent won't be shooting more deer anytime soon, at least not with that rifle, because the agents seized the one he used. Neither will Mr. Nugent dine on venison from the doe in question. Instead, it was also seized and will be enjoyed by the recipients from the charity it was donated to. So, facing criminal fines of up to $1,300, up to 120 days in jail, plus another $400 civil restitution for the replacement value, is 22-year-old Ralston Nugent of DeVille, Louisiana, today's bad boy of the outdoors. Yep, moral of that story is deer hunting at night is great, but it's illegal, unfortunately. All right, 504-260-1870, that's our text board. I was asking, I didn't get too many people want to let me know what their favorite snack was when you're going out to sit in a deer stand, a duck blind, or you go fishing. What would it be if you had one particular item? I know one guy, and his thing is pistachios, and it makes a mess. You know, if you go on the stand after he hunts, say you're going to be cleaning up pistachio nuts. It leaves them all over the place. All right, we're going to talk to Captain Ryan Lambert coming up. He's down in Burris. I don't know if this is one of his negative tide days, if the boys are out there duck hunting already, or they got to wait till this afternoon and fish early and dealing with this wind. Wind is great. I think this is a great duck hunting morning. Of course, everybody knows the problems we've been having in Louisiana, Mississippi, even Arkansas with altered migration. We just don't get the birds that we used to. And there's a lot of reasons for it. And Senator John Kennedy, if you haven't seen it, fired off a letter to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on behalf of the waterfowl hunters in Louisiana asking that they look into flooding unharvested crops, namely corn. They grow the crops, they flood it with water. In some cases, they keep it from freezing, and it holds an awful lot of birds. There's no reason to leave. They got food, they got water, they ain't coming. And That's part of the problem. All right, we come back after this. We'll talk to the Plastic Man, also known as Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures, next, here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. Into a kayak. Yeah, he's doing the stroking thing, right?
This sciatic nerve, I ain't getting in the kayak, brother.
I didn't think so. I didn't think so.
I'm dying.
Well, what are the tides letting you do this morning down there?
Well, happy belated birthday, first of all, my friend.
Thank you. It is today. You're on time.
Yep. Oh, it's today. Great. So, I thought it was yesterday. I saw on Facebook. So, at any rate, we fished it in the morning. Yesterday, I fished an hour and a half. I had 35 beautiful keepers. I was just turning them loose. I was done in like 5 minutes. But all on plastic.
We know that.
They boil in the water. I mean, it's just beautiful. So the fishing is off the charts, and it's been like that for, you know, it's going to stay like that. The river's not coming up until, who knows it? I've looked all the way in February. It's still 2-1. So we're having a great year on fishing, and in the evening we duck hunting, and we killed limits yesterday evening. But it's a weird thing, almost all teal yesterday. There's lots and lots of pintails and lots of teal. And everything else is kind of weird. I mean, that's how it was at the end of the year before last. We had canvasbacks and pintails and no teal. So it's weird, but we're gonna go out there and do our thing. But, you know, we got another blow coming this evening and tomorrow, and another one coming on Thursday. Yeah, I think 80% chance of rain and 30 mile an hour out the north on Thursday. So when I get back from Mexico, it's going to be game on for the last 4 days.
Yeah, well, you know, this has got to go down as the year of the teal. Huh? I mean, even the blue wings, they're just hanging around down here. You know?
Well, they did that last year as well. But there's been a lot of teal, but there's tons of pintails as well. And then there are some cans in there. I haven't seen that many redheads this year. It's like normal. But you know, lots of cans still. You just got to get a blow to get them. There are some grays and widgeons mixed in there, but not a plethora by any chance, you know.
Did y'all get any of those really pretty pintails with long pins?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, long pins and rusty chest. There's tons of them. Yeah. I mean, not sure.
What do you think that rusty chest comes from, though?
That's just a mature bird. You know, everybody says, oh, it's the water, it's the water. No,
he's rusting. He's rusting.
Yeah. It's the salt water. It's making him rust. No, it's just a fully mature bird that you know, the end of the season is when they're starting to get it because, you know, the breeding season's coming up when they leave, so they got to get purdied up.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful, beautiful specimen, I tell you that, to see that.
Well, you got two of the best. I mean, you know, teal probably the best eating bird out there. They're a little bit, man, they are sweet. And then the beautiful pintail. So you got probably two of the best. And I don't know what happened to our gray ducks. You know, it used to be our bread and butter for the southeast. But
They eat grass. There's no grass. You know, and you know the funny thing? How when I look at how particular it is, like last year, the way that hurricane came in, it left the Delacro area alone with the tidal surge, and they were covered in ducks because the salt water didn't kill their food. And they had the best season they could have in forever. And then you'll see the year before that, at the end of South Pass on the right side, they had grass. They killed the heck out of the gray ducks. I mean, they're going to go where the food is, and, you know, we just – Louisiana has lost our habitat. You know, there's a big deal going on with the corn and all that now. Well, it all goes, I would imagine it all works together, but they come down here, if there's nothing to eat, they're not going to stay. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. So, well, I had a text come in, somebody talking about hunting in Desalmans, and I know you used to hunt there. I hunted there in the late 70s and the early 80s, and boy, what a paradise that was for birds. He says this is one of the worst seasons ever, is what the report said.
Well, because there was 5,000 birds in the whole upper estuary, Barataria estuary, and 4,000 of them were pooldu and black-bellied squealers. So we had 1,000 birds counting dogrees and ringnecks and everything in the whole Barataria estuary. There's no food. There is no grass in the whole estuary. I'm working on it as hard as I can. Right now I'm trying to put some salt monitors at the mouth of Lake Salvador, Lake Desalmans. I mean, by Desalmans in Bayacuba. I want to get some real-time salt monitors to where we can monitor and protect the upper estuary because all they worry about is the lower estuary and shrimp and oysters. That's 5 to 15 parts per thousand, and that's good for oyster production. And then come April, they shut the diversion down when the brown shrimp start coming. It's all about the brown shrimp and oysters, and we cannot manage our estuary for that because everybody else suffers. I don't know when there's been a bass tournament in this area. There's no more tackle shops in this area. No, you can't buy your shiner. You can't get anything here anymore because there's no fishermen because there's no fish.
Yeah, and what a great place that used to be. But, I mean, you know, you're not going to do any oystering around Bayou Cuba. I mean, that area.
Not yet.
It needs to be fresh. They need to get that back in there.
I mean, I'm working as hard, but everybody needs to get in on it. I mean, you know, everybody's in on that corn. You ought to be more in on saving your own estuary and your own place and then let Mother Nature take its place. We, you know, let the feds worry about the corn. But the locals, New Orleans and the Zalman, Vashery, Bayou Gosh, everybody in St. John, St. Charles, and Jefferson Parish, I'd be raising Cain about the fact that it's saltwater intrusion.
Yeah, you make a great point. You know, we talk about the migrate, but if we did, you know, re-alter the migration to where the birds started returning again, if there's nothing here for them, they ain't staying. You're not going to have them anyway.
Yeah, you know, those gray ducks aren't going to stay up in that corn if they got grass down here. I promise you, they like the salt water, you know, that brackish water and grass, you know, they'll eat it up in that green slime. The green-winged teal and the gadwalls love that green slime this time of year that grows in the marsh. But, you know, the salt water kills all that. So, you know, you just – I got to have some help, guys. I'm working on it as hard as I can.
I know you have. You dedicated a large part of your life and your resources to doing that, and you're to be commended for that. Well, have you got any openings if somebody wants to come down in and take advantage of some of those afternoon duck hunts or some of that great fishing that's going on?
They can come fishing, and we can put you on a ton of fish, but the duck hunt is essentially done for us booking. We're booked up for the rest of the season, and I'm going to bring Mr. Carl the last 2 days. Me and him going to sit in the blind all day. We're going to bring some sandwiches and we're going to stay there until we get a limit, and then we're going to stay there and call ducks after that.
Sounds like a great plan to me. All right, Ryan, somebody wants to get you, tell them how to do it.
They can call me at 504-559-5111 or go to CajunFishingAdventures.com. Join the battle, boys. We got to save our estuary.
All right, my friend. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, buddy. You have a great birthday.
Thank you. There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert, Cajun Fishing Adventures. All right, we got a few more texts coming in. If you want to get one in before we wrap up, it's 504-260-1870. We're back to check out the text board and put a wrap on this one right here on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, got a few texts in. This one says, I generally try to keep a bag of freshly ripened satsumas in my deer stand when they came in. That's old man Sam. Yeah, nice fresh satsuma. We've got a nice aroma. I might even help attract the deer, but that's a great little snack to have out there. And they should be there. All right. Here's one says, we have tons of duck grass in our Scarsdale area and Delacroix, but no ducks. Explain. Well, it's an altered migration. You know, if you've got, and I've been down there and I've seen it, there wasn't any storms that came into that area, and there's a lot of grass in that brackish marsh, and it's kind of like the table was set for the ducks, but they don't show up. It's an effect called short-stopping. The flooded corn is part of it. Other than that, they blame the weather, but people who have hunted over the years know that a lot of times we've been out there in T-shirts and covered up in ducks. We just don't get the ducks down south that we used to. All right, here's one says, I'm confused. Captain Lambert wants salt water or no salt water? Well, he'd like salt water because he fishes speckled trout and redfish and the saltwater species down on the lower edges, but those areas we were talking about are far inland, you know, Lake Salvador, Lake Cataguachi, Bayou Cuba, the Zalmans, those areas there. Those at one time were almost exclusively fresh, and you would get a little mix of brackish late in the year in the wintertime. But those areas, because saltwater intrusion, they just don't produce the fish and the game that they used to. All right, and I'm getting some more happy birthdays in. Thank you to all of you who are sending the birthday wishes. Well, looking back at what we covered today, we talked about Chef John Folt's Boucherie. What a great event that's coming up in a couple of, 3 weeks. Saturday, February 7th, 8 a.m., White Oak Estate and Gardens. It's on George O'Neill Road in Baton Rouge, and you can get tickets on Eventbrite. And just Google it, Boucheret. You'll get the information there. And if you want to see some of the Boucheret before you go, David Hubbell was kind enough to research our Bayou Wild YouTube channel and find some of the episodes. Episode 151, that's with the beaver tail. Episodes 81 and 6, I have an overview. And episode 6 is where I was dining on coon and rooster stew, one of the delicacies there. We also talked about the beginner rainbow trout courses that is being offered by Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries. If you can't get signed up, because I think they're pretty much filled up, but you might check on their website if you want to take the course. Now, other than that, they put the rainbow trout, they stock them, and these fish are bite almost immediately, and it's open to the public. These are all on public places, and the idea is to catch them before the waters warm up, because rainbow trout, that's why we don't have native rainbow trout, but as long as the waters are cold, they do well. And today, their two stockings took place, and they've got the classes and the courses going on from 9 to 11 this morning. Zamari Park in Hammond, and I can tell you there's some catfish in there. I went there, and we filmed the show, Catching Stocked Catfish, Channel Cats in there. Nice show we'd had, and nice catfish in there. Also today, this one from 2 to 4 this afternoon, Bogachita State Park, which is up in Washington Parish. And they've got some nice ponds up in there, and they'll have rainbow trout in them. They do stock, also stock the catfish in those in that particular water body. In fact, all of these. And then next week, you might want to plan to go out to the oil and gas park if you're around Jennings. They'll be open up 9 to 11 for the class. The class is 2 to 4 if you go to the Lafayette Southside Regional Park. And also next week from 9 to 11 at the Bayou Country Sports Complex in Houma. They kind of give you the routine on how to rig up, how to bait, and how to catch those rainbow trout. Pretty little fish. Not bad eating at all, but I find they are a little bony. That's one of the hang-ups. But other than that, it's a good sport fish and a pretty good table fish, too. All right, let's see if we got some more text that came in here. I know we had some more requests about freshwater fishing spots, and these spots that I'm mentioning are excellent because before the department chooses to stock a lake for the public to get out, they call it get out and fish, they make sure that it has all the parking facilities, restroom, it's handicap ready, it's pretty comfortable, the banks are clean, and everything's easily accessible. All right, the music's playing. It's time for us to go, and that means we'll be back again next week. Hope you'll tune us in. We do this for 2 hours each and every Saturday morning. We give you some information. Hopefully we entertain you and send you out into the great outdoors as a better outdoorsman, conservationist, fisherman, and hunter. We'll see you next week right back here on The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network.